The artist is concerned with truth. Now, whether that truth deals with something that's clear-cut and forthright and honest, or whether it is the deep and dark devious, that's the realm that he's exploring, and that's what he must express at the time. There are people who think that a sunset is beautiful. That's a purely automatic reaction. If the sky is covered with what looks like currant jelly, they say it's beautiful. Whereas if they turned their back against the sunset, they might see an afterglow reflected on the buildings that was infinitely more beautiful, but they haven't. Their prejudices, their preconceived notions, keep them from seeing it. Now, those kind of prejudices happen to an artist. The lack of freedom that an ideology, a nation, a government can impose on an artist are as nothing compared to those he will impose upon himself by saddling himself with preconceived notions about things. There are various kinds of truths. They're like there are various kinds of reality. I remember Ben Shahn telling me a story once. He was in the museum, and a boy and a girl were sitting opposite an abstract painting. And either she said to the boy or the boy said to the girl, "Don't you think that abstraction is the greatest form of reality?" And Ben Shahn said, "I was tempted to go behind them and whisper, 'Are you sure?' It's dangerous to make positive assertions about things of that kind, I believe." The mechanism of the camera becomes part of him, like breathing. Otherwise, he hasn't mastered it. And so consequently, there's no binding. He's only bound by the fact that he must conclude everything into and wrap it up into an instant. Sometimes it's a split second, sometimes it may go into minutes. But after all, Leonardo is said to have worked for 2 years on doing the portrait of Mona Lisa. Well, now, if a photographer worked for 2 years photographing one subject, I think he'd produce a greater portrait. The simplest literal representation that any tyro can make of a scene, a person, a place, or an object. I'm sorry we haven't any images here to present, but I know of two photographs. For instance, Alfred Stieglitz and Charles Sheeler. Sheeler was a painter, and Stieglitz was one of the great pioneers in the whole field of photography. They both photographed barns. Now, both of those photographs of barns are reflections of the way those two men see things. Sheeler was entranced by the sunlight on the barns, the texture of it, and the beautiful lines of the simple construction. To Stieglitz, the barn was an old ramshackle thing. It was turbulent. He used it to create an idea that had only a relative meaning in the barn itself, to express something, the dark boards and so on. Well, in that respect, the artist does have control, and he brings out significances that way, or meanings. But he can't invent them in the scene. He can't imagine they are there because the camera won't respond to that. But he actually sees them there. It makes him decide when he's to make that photograph or what he is to photograph. I doubt whether Stieglitz would have photographed the barn that Sheeler photographed, and I know Sheeler wouldn't have photographed the barn that Stieglitz photographed. In that respect, there's a selection is one of the great elements in photography that goes towards making it possible to create. It starts with the object in nature, I believe. If it starts within himself, then he's impinging something under it, and I doubt whether that would make a great photograph.
In your great exhibition, The Family of Man, you took photographs, this thing that, how many countries has it been in?
Well, 38 countries involved.
And millions of people have seen it?
Over 5 million up to the present, yes, sir.
And this means that this picture of humanity, which you devised out of photographs, has touched a great part of the living humanity of the earth now. And I'm sure you assume, don't you, take it for granted, that they all get a certain kind of significance out of it. I don't mean all exactly the same. It speaks a common language.
That's true. And it's probably the only universal language we have today, the image. I was puzzled at first as to whether it would be understood by everybody. Apparently it has. And I think the answer is the onlooker participates in the exhibition. A Japanese poet once said that when you look into a mirror, you do not see your reflection. Your reflection sees you. Now, the people look at these pictures, and the pictures look back at them and see them. So they become part of the exhibition. There must be some kind of a melting and a fusion between the onlooker and the pictures in the exhibition to account for this fantastic audience that has developed.